We're going to look at that passage, or that part of the chapter that I read in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And we're considering tonight particularly the fall of Peter in Matthew chapter 26 and those circumstances that led up to the fall of Peter and the way in which he denied the Lord. Now, we live in a generation when many Christian people, professedly Christian people, and sometimes non-Christian leaders have fallen into sins that a few years ago they would never have imagined that they could be guilty of. And we are so surprised sometimes by things that we hear. And the question is, why does it happen? Well, in fact, why could that happen to any one of us? Because we're all in a world of temptation day by day. And why did it happen? And that's why we're looking, why does it happen, looking at Peter's fall in the way that he denied the Lord, having asserted that he could never do it, and yet he fell. And in the way that Peter fell, the whole circumstance of the way in which he came to that point of denying the Lord, there's so much to learn from what happened to Peter, so much to teach you and me this evening. So we're looking at Peter's fall and then his restoration as we read about it in Matthew chapter 26. And I want four headings, just four words: presumption, pride, prayerlessness, and penitence. Those four words which I think summarise effectively what happened with Peter in this situation: presumption, pride, prayerlessness, penitence. So firstly, presumption. Matthew 26, where we read in verses 33 and 35. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night." Verse 35, Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you," Peter said, "I will never be made to stumble." Now here's Peter, mistakenly presuming that he, Peter, because he's Peter, could never deny the Lord. And yet within a very short time indeed, he did exactly that, the one thing that he said he could never do. Now, a number of years ago, there was an American pastor by the name of Gordon MacDonald, and he worked a lot in the university world as well. And he speaks of a time when, just like Peter, he mistakenly presumed that there was one sin that he would never commit and could never commit. A friend asked him on one occasion, I quote from one of his books, "If Satan were to blow you out of the water, how do you think he would do it?" And Gordon MacDonald responded, "I'm not sure I know, but I know that there's one way in which he wouldn't get me. He'd never get me in the area of my personal relationships. That's one place," Gordon MacDonald said, "where I have no doubt that I'm as strong as you can get." He recounts the sequel sometime afterwards. He fell at this very point where he presumed himself to be strongest, and tragically, he was unfaithful to his wife. And what he says is this: a few years after that conversation, my world broke wide open. A chain of seemingly innocent choices became destructive, and it was my fault. Choice by choice made it easier to make, each becoming gradually darker, and then my world broke in the very area I had predicted I was safe. The Jewish scholar, writer Alfred Edersheim, in the last century, based in this country, by the way, Jewish but English, Alfred Edersheim said this, I quote, "We mostly deem those sins to be farthest, which are nearest to us. The things which we least anticipate are our falls." And I think that's a very relevant quote to say, to quote this evening. But the question here is, why is that the case? Well, it should be that the very things that we think we could never fall in, that those can be the very ones where we do fall. Well, let's go back to Peter. Peter fell because, in the very first instance, he didn't know himself. He didn't know his own personal weaknesses and potential weaknesses. And that in itself is a lesson for us, that we're in danger of falling if we don't know ourselves, our strengths, yes, but also our weaknesses and our potential weaknesses. As Gordon MacDonald himself again warns, almost every personal defeat begins with our failure to know ourselves, to have clear views of our capabilities, negative and possibilities, our propensities and weak side. Now, Peter He fell because he presumed himself to be strong in himself and by his own purely human determination. I will never do it, Lord. The others may, but I can't, I won't. And he wasn't being strong in the Lord and realizing that his only strength is in the Lord, day by day against all temptation. And again, it's the same lesson for us. If we presume that we're strong enough in and of ourselves and by ourselves, rather than thinking that we are strong in the Lord and only in the Lord and the strength of his might, then we're in danger of falling, as Peter fell in whatever might be, well, what we think is our strength, but that may be our greatest weakness. So Peter fell by presuming himself to be strong, and then in presuming himself to be strong, to keep up his guard against sin and against Satan. No, the Lord said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. But he didn't watch and pray. We read of Peter that he slept. Jesus went away to pray a second time. And then when he came back, Peter was asleep along with the others. He wasn't watching. He wasn't praying. He wasn't seeking the Lord as he should have been for that strength that he needed with the great trial that lay ahead. But it was this presumption, and the presumption which in effect became pride within him. I can be faithful to you, Lord. I can't fail you. And he was presuming on himself. And we can fall and are likely to fall again if our presumption then turns to pride. But I'll come back to that point. The remedy to our false presumptions, or to pray with the psalmist, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there is any wicked way in me. And let's assure you, as I have to tell myself again and again, there are depths in our hearts, potential for sin, that even now we don't see, and we don't know it. And so we need to ask God to search our hearts. And we need to remember what the Apostle Paul says, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We can't be too presumptuous. Our hope and our trust is in the Lord and not in and of ourselves. And John Calvin, in his commentary on Matthew, Mark, Luke, he says this very aptly: everyone should be mindful of his weakness and continually seek the aid of the Holy Spirit. And that's for all of us. Presumption, pride. I come back to that point that I've just touched on. Matthew 26, 33 to 35, putting all those verses together. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster, the cockerel crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Peter fell through presumption, but here we see that presumption turning into pride. And as Proverbs 16 verse 18 says to every one of us, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And surely this is what we see in Peter at this point. He presumes himself to be strong in himself. No, I can never do this. And he fell through pride. Satan originally fell through pride. And many of us, for example, would see in Isaiah chapter 14, 12 to 14, the original fall of Satan, when Isaiah writes, who are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will be like the Most High. That was Satan's sin. Well, essentially, that's the essence of sin again and again, that we are raising ourselves above God in one way or another, counting ourselves better guides than God is, and pride. And Peter fell through this devilish pride, because that's what it is, pride that makes us in the likeness of the devil and not in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's pride, when he saw himself as being a cut above the other disciples, he was above them. They might fail you, they might stumble, but no, I can't do that, I will never fail you. It would have been better if Peter had said something that was quoted to me often as a young Christian by a friend, that when we see others in their sin and their failure, what we should say is, there, but for the grace of God, go I. We're only here by the grace of God. But Peter wasn't saying that. And Peter's pride, when he was speaking and acting as if he knew better than Jesus himself, he contradicted him twice over. And Jesus said to them, verse 31, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. What did Peter say, verse 33? Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never stumble. the Lord had told him, and he was contradicting the Lord, in good faith, yes, but he was contradicting the Lord, and in effect saying that he knew better. So then verse 34, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you that this night, before the cockerel crows, you will deny me three times." And then verse 35, Peter says, again contradicting the Lord, contradicting his very word, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And we can have that same sort of pride where somehow we think we know better than God himself. And when we see others in their sin, instead of saying, "There, but for the grace of God, go I," we look on them with contempt, we look down on them. And we don't feel that compassion, that sorrow that we should feel for these people who are caught by sin, caught by the devil, caught by Satan, and bound for a lost eternity. But not looking down on people, realising that we are only what we are by the grace of God and no other cause. And God, in effect, could withdraw his grace and show us that we're not as strong as we think we are. And that same pride that Peter seemed to be showing when he contradicted the Lord twice over. And we can do that unwittingly almost sometimes when we do things which deep down we know are contrary to the word of God and contrary to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're sure we can get away with it. And we are rising above the word of God and doing those things that deep down we know God doesn't want us to do. And that in itself is pride, it's self-assertion against God. Ignoring God and showing that pride when we live according to our own wisdom and not according to the wisdom of God, which is in the word of God in so many different ways. And this pride, well, it's one of the most dangerous sins of all, because, as Proverbs says so clearly, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So that's my second main point. My third point, prayerlessness. Peter fell through his presumption. He fell because of his pride. And he also fell because of his prayerlessness. Matthew 26, 40 to 41, where we read of the Lord that he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, notice it's specifically Peter. He said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And how did Peter and those who were with him respond to that, well, that caution of the Lord? Verse 43, Jesus came and found them asleep again. Prayerlessness, and that failure to pray, even when the Lord was prompting him to pray. Peter failed to pray at that most critical time, and Peter fell. Not looking in prayer to God for strength, knowing that in God alone is our strength, particularly when we're faced with a great crisis, a serious crisis, but looking to his own human strength and his own determination to be faithful to the Lord. And the only way to stand against temptation is to act on these words of the Lord, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And that means watching and praying in our daily times of prayer, in which we should never fail, and praying that the Lord day by day will help us and strengthen us and particularly guard us against the sins that so readily beset us. Watching and praying all through the day when we're at work and when we're at play, because in any one of those situations that we're in life, there can be times of temptation, times when we could be tempted to deny the Lord or his ways. Watching and praying when we know that spiritual trial and spiritual danger is very near to us, even more watching and praying when that spiritual trial or that danger is just about upon us. Looking in prayer and faith to God to strengthen us by the Holy Spirit, and looking in prayer and faith to our great High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as Hebrews says, Hebrews 4, he knows our weaknesses. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, our great High Priest, who ever lives to make intercession for us, and coming to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and help and strength, grace to help in time of need. Trusting ourselves, well, not in ourselves, but trusting ourselves to the one who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless in his presence, finally, with great glory. Our strength is in the Lord. That's the point that we need to grasp. And amongst other things, that means being diligent in our prayer, in our reading of the scriptures, watching and praying. Presumption, pride, prayerlessness. My fourth main point, penitence. Judas, of course, he betrayed the Lord. And when he betrayed the Lord and he realised the enormity of what he did he repent? Well, no, he didn't. He went and hung himself. He committed suicide. And he went to his eternal reward, or rather it was punishment. But Peter acted differently. When Peter realised the enormity of his sin in denying the Lord in the way that he did, having said that he would never deny the Lord, or when Peter fell, he repented, and he repented straight away. When he realised what he'd done, three times denying the Lord, he went outside, we're told, and he wept bitterly. Peter repented, and though for a time it seems as if he was ashamed to be in the presence of the Lord, he was fully restored to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that particularly at the end of John's Gospel, where the Lord in a special way reassures Peter, and he knows that he's restored. And then Peter, he became, by the grace of God, one of the great apostles and pillars of the early church. Not the only pillar, as some would teach, but one of the great pillars of the early church. In spite of that great sin, he was restored, he repented, he was restored, and the Lord went on to use him in that wonderful way that he was used. And that's an encouragement to each one of us, isn't it? That if we fail, if we fall, well then the opportunity is given to us to repent. As believers, the opportunity is given to us. And true repentance, being genuinely sorry for our sin, that restores us fully to our fellowship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So true repentance and daily repentance, that should be a factor of our Christian lives, where we continue to renew our fellowship with God and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ as we recall our sins of that day and acknowledge and confess our sins and honestly seek God's forgiveness and help and strength. Of course, people can weep over their sins and failures for the completely wrong reasons. Like children, or parents know this, when they cry their crocodile tears, as we call them, because they've been caught out and they put on the tears and the sadness, and all they're trying to do is to get out of being punished in the way that they know they deserve to be punished. And so, well, that's children, but it can also happen with adults. Or like Esau, reading about Esau, how he sold his birthright to his brother for a mere pot of stew, and then he wept bitterly for what he'd so foolishly thrown away and he could never get back, because when a man made a promise, as his brother Esau did, there was no going back. We used to say it in this country, an Englishman's word is his bond. Well, that's no longer true. But certainly in the Middle East at that time, that's exactly what it was like, and there was no way, by all the tears of Esau, that he could get back what he'd given over and pledged to his brother. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 to 17 refers to Esau when it says, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright and found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So tears of sorrow, sadness about our sins and our failures and our downfalls, in and of themselves, they're not enough. It's not a case of crying crocodile tears just to get out of being punished. It's not a case of crying these tears because we've lost something very precious to us that we can't get back. It's not a case of crying because we've lost face, we've lost our reputation. Well, that should upset us, but it's not that that is real repentance in the presence of God. The point about the Apostle Peter at this point is that he cried because he realised that he'd failed and he'd offended the Lord Jesus Christ, his truest friend, his saviour, his brother. And he realised that it was against the Lord. You know, like David in Psalm 51, when he said, against you, you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight. And that was true repentance on the part of King David. And here we have true repentance in Peter, grieved because he had betrayed and denied his Lord, his Saviour, his truest friend, his truest help. But he also repented and cried never to go back to that particular sin in denying the Lord. He didn't become a perfect man, but we never read of anything like that in Peter again. He never again denied the Lord directly in that particular way. So our repentance, It's real when we weep not so much for ourselves, but for the one whom we've offended and grieved, the God whom we've grieved, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our true friend and saviour. And we weep and we're sorry and sad for our sin because we know that we've grieved him. We know that we've let him down by our sin. And the greater the sin, the more that we've let him down. But true repentance, when we weep and we're sad and sorry for our sins, because it's the Lord himself above all whom we have hurt and grieved and offended. But also true repentance, when we weep for our sin with that honest and earnest determination that by the grace of God, we will never return to that particular sin. And we're weak, we will still fail and fall in this life. By the grace of God, we pray that he will keep us to the end, and that is his promise. But there must be that honest and earnest daily determination not to go back to our sins. Of course, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, let me conclude. If we want to stand against temptation, then we need in the first instance to realise that we're not as strong as we think we are. We're not as strong as we imagine any one of us, and I think we all tend to overestimate ourselves. That's our nature, I'm afraid that's our human pride. And pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's the big danger point right at the outset. And so we need to seek to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, fearing that we need to know that we have an enemy within and the enemy outside us can inflame that and lead us into sin. And we need to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation daily and through the day, and particularly when we see the problems and the trials and the temptations drawing very near to us. And we have to realise that our strength is not in ourselves. We're only strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not in our own might. And if we would stand against temptation, then daily our prayer and our faith must be to look to the one who promises that he's able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless before his presence, before his glory, with exceeding joy. And for believers and non-believers, we need to learn from Peter the weakness of our human nature, the awful power of sin that remains within us, not least sins that perhaps at this present time we think we might not be able to commit, but the potential is there. To learn with Peter to weep for our sin with honest repentance because it's against God. Not just because we suffer for it, but it's against God and it's against the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer tonight, let me call you in the first instance to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, and for pardon by his death. He paid the price for sin, but we must look to him in repentance and faith in order to enjoy that benefit, to know the forgiveness of God. And then through the Lord Jesus Christ, day by day, to begin to know his strength against temptation, moment by moment, upholding us as we continue to look to him in faith. The just shall live by his faith, the justified ones, reconciled to God and living daily by faith. And looking moment by moment in faith to the one who, as Jude says, is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Amen. Well, I hope that more of us will know the tune of the last hymn. I think it's better known. Number 734. Jesus, my strength, my hope, on thee I cast my care. With humble confidence, look up and know thou hearest my prayer. Give me on thee to wait till I can all things do. On thee, almighty to create, almighty to renew. 734.
Thank you.
grant us day by day, our gracious God, to know what it means to rest in your strength and your strength alone, to know that in and of ourselves and by ourselves we do not have the strength to be faithful to you, to be true to you in all of our ways. Strengthen us, work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure, and keep us day by day from the snares of our own heart and from the snares of the evil one, who is ever ready to pull us down and to draw us away from you. Grant us your grace and the help of your Holy Spirit, and keep us ever watchful in prayer and in the reading of your word. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen.